Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Naked Gaming Podcast with me, Chris Barrow, and Lee Milner.
Are you well?
I always am well. Are you well?
I thought you were.
Excellent. Well, it's episode 7.
I know.
7's your lucky number.
I know. Born 7th of the 7th, eh?
Why are you saying this now? It's too late for people to send you presents.
Wow. It's past. It's past already. No worries.
For next year.
For next year, yeah.
When you're 21 again.
Yeah.
Again.
Of course.
Again. Yeah. Again.
Well trained.
See? Good. I know. Welcome to the show then. Hope you're very well. We've got loads lined up for you today. Last month, if you missed our episode though, it was another good one, I have to say.
Yeah, our June episode focused on the first ever virtual reality church.
With that avatar, there's a sense of anonymity, and with that anonymity comes deep authenticity.
You just like that he was called DJ Soto.
Yeah, I'm sure that I saw him in Ibiza once.
DJ Soto from VR.
No, maybe I'm getting my DJs mixed up.
VR DJing, though, now there's an idea.
I know.
This month, Borderlands 3 is on the way very soon. In fact, we'll be reviewing it hopefully next month if it arrives in time. They've revealed some of their exclusive merchandise that comes along with the game. It's a statue of one of the villains in the series called the Rampager, which sounds a bit dodgy anyway.
That sounds a bit weird.
And it's an incense holder version of the Rampager.
I love incense holders.
What's your favourite incense scent? Because you know there's one that's orange something.
Is it bergamot?
Bergamot?
Could be bergamot.
Bergavan?
Yeah. Imagine you could get an incense stick that smells of like your favourite fast food.
Wow.
Like, oh, I fancy a McDonald's one today.
Okay. I don't think I would necessarily want that.
Other fast food chains available.
Wow, well done. We're going to have a roundup of the worst merchandise of all time. And there's some really dodgy stuff out there, let me tell you.
Okay, and this month we continue to focus on gaming addiction. We'll hear from one gamer who struggled to stop playing and a treatment centre that helps people to recover.
As for new releases, Harry Potter Wizards Unite has finally been released in the UK. Apparently it was supposed to get released in early access in Australia and New Zealand, where Georgia Mills is still at the moment. But Georgia never actually managed to download the game. So much for early access.
Oh dear.
Anyway, we've had a good go at it. Well, I've had a particularly good go at it, practicing the flick of my wand / mobile phone.
Okay, and staying with mobile gaming, Love Island the Game is out now. I've been looking forward to this one, you know.
You've been watching the series loads.
Hang on, I've been watching the series.
On your own, we've
been watching the series loads.
Nope, we're recording now, so I'm not prepared to admit this.
Right, okay, we'll see tonight then. So we'll be seeing if the game is any good.
As for Retro Revival, last month we sent back the Tamagotchi because it was rubbish, and update, we did actually get the refund from Amazon, so
yay!
Well done. It's been reinvested into more games, which is good news.
Yeah, this time round, though, it's Crash Team Racing Nitro-Fueled Nitrous Oxide Edition. I'm so excited for this.
I can't believe you said the title right.
I said it slowly, with a lot of practice. Yeah, and we said it had potential to be the best game of all time. Spoiler alert, it is.
First up today, our gaming tat correspondent, Alex Rhodes, has been looking at the worst gaming merchandise that has ever been released.
5.
Gaming company Numskull has revealed its official range of Borderlands 3 merchandise, and the highlight, a 37-centimetre tall statue of the new villain of the series, the Rampager, that you can use as an incense holder. Because who doesn't need a branded incense holder to help them rampage their way to a state of zen relaxation?
for?
When Fallout 76 came out, there was a special Power Armour edition, yours for a hefty £199, that included a wearable helmet and a bag to keep it in. You might also recall the false advertising backlash when people realised that the bag was nylon instead of the canvas promised by the promotional material. Well, Bethesda has sent out replacement canvas bags now, so everyone's happy, right? No. The new bags certainly are canvas and seem to be a vast improvement, but some people still aren't satisfied, saying it's too thin and isn't military-grade canvas, just in case you have to use it in an actual nuclear apocalypse. And if you thought that was bad, then you haven't played the game itself.
3.
In at number 3, it's Mass Effect 3. If you got the collector's edition from EB Games, you got a metal game case, an in-game weapon, and a bizarre-looking inflatable Omniblade. It's worth a Google, but for reference, it looks just like a giant inflatable middle finger, which, coincidentally, was what most reviewers and fans thought of the ending.
2.
Sonic the Hedgehog is an iconic part of many of our childhoods and remains a hit with the youth today. So what would you think to give out to the fans on the game's 10th anniversary? A toy? A remake of the first game? No. Sega decided to go with a crystal wine glass. That's right, Sega released a special edition wine glass for a game suitable for all audiences. Can't down a Chateau Neuf de Pape in one? You're too slow!
1.
Angry Birds, the casual game that took the mobile software markets by storm. There's just about every kind of Angry Birds merchandise that you can think of, as well as a pretty terrible movie. But clearly they used up all their good ideas pretty quickly. So someone in the merchandise department went to work, sat down at their desk, and thought long and hard for a different way to flog that horse. What did they come up with? A bra! That's right, a bra. There's an Angry Bird on one side and a green pig on the other. Please insert your own joke.
4. Thank you, Alex Rhodes, our gaming tat merchandise correspondent.
And actually, on an unrelated note, I saw a blue tit in the garden the other day, although it didn't look angry.
Just quickly, there's a bit of gaming news as well.
Yeah, people are discovering on the PS4 that if you press the square button on the secret trophies, it will actually tell you how to unlock them.
Yeah,
did you know that?
This is an article that you sent me, which I blew my mind. Because, you know, when you're trying to unlock trophies and achievements and stuff, some of them are hidden with a question mark.
Yeah.
And most people thought, well, I don't know how to get these.
Yeah.
But then apparently...
It's been there for 5 years.
Just press...
Literally in front of your face.
Square.
Yeah.
Anyway, now you know.
Exactly.
Busy night, but there's always room for another.
Now, earlier this year, we discussed gaming addiction, which has been listed as a mental health condition by the World Health Organization. It came up because Prince Harry said he wanted Fortnite to be banned because it was created to addict. Since then, the makers of Fortnite say they were surprised when Prince Harry called the game irresponsible.
Well, one gamer has been sharing his story with us.
Hi, my name's John and I've been in recovery from gaming addiction since 2014. I started gaming as a youngster. I was born in the mid-70s and, you know, when I was young it was mainly computers, Commodore 64. And I really liked it and never saw it as a problem. I think as it escalated as I got older, and it was when the internet really became quite a big thing, back on dial-up and then on broadband connections. People noticed it was a problem way before I ever noticed it was an issue. My partner used to approach me quite a lot when I would come in from work and try and stop me playing the computer, trying to get me to spend time with her and my children. And even then, even though it was consuming my life outside of work, I never really saw it as an issue. I used to like playing a lot of first-person shooter games and used to really get immersed in the online world. I think as I started to get older, it ended up costing me quite a lot of things. I was unemployed for quite a long time. And when I was unemployed, I just sunk into the world even more. It became sort of an escape from me. Just a way to get away from the way I was feeling and just to deal with everyday life. I finally got help in 2014 and it was going into a treatment centre in Essex called Sanctuary Lodge, where back when I went in, it was quite new. And when I went in, I learned that really the gaming was an escape for me. It became a way to actually deal with everyday life. And it was myself. I needed to have a look at really what was going on inside that was causing the problems, you know, why I was needing to escape from the real world and into this world. And I'd done a lot of really good work on myself. I learned how to live, you know, being me and to deal with everyday life without having to use it as an escape. Since leaving the treatment centre, I've had varying degrees of actually staying completely abstinent. I don't believe for someone like myself that there is any moderating it. For me, it would come under the same category as any other type of addiction. I have, over the last sort of 4.5 years or so, convinced myself on a couple of occasions that my time away from it would qualify me, you know, to be able to do it normally. So I've downloaded games. I have a PC at home. One time I even got a console as well. And what I noticed with it was in a day or so, I'm back to doing what I was doing and it consuming my life again. So I now have to look at it as complete abstinence from gaming, which, you know, can be difficult for me because I always enjoyed the competition. I almost looked at it as like a sport. Now, I've heard people say that, you know, gaming should be banned. Even Prince Harry said that Fortnite should be banned. I don't ever think that you can ban a game as a whole. I don't think really it's the game that's the problem. I think if you really look at it, it's more of a social aspect now, the way people live, the way people are brought up, constantly seeking escapism in social media, gaming in general. And I think they're the things that need to be addressed and not actually banning some game.
Very powerful to hear from John there, not his real name. So what can you do about gaming addiction, if anything? Well, let's hear from Eitan Alexander, who's the founder of the UK Addiction Treatment Group, which is known as UCAT.
Gaming addiction is like any other addiction. It's a compulsive obsessive disorder which gets us to do the same thing over and over and over again and think this time the result will be different.
So how do you help people with gaming addiction?
We look at the underlying root causes, because ultimately addiction itself is the manifestation of something where I've got a hole somewhere, which I need to fill. And with the gamer, he fills it with gaming. But really, it's about the root causes. We would look at their low self-esteem or the fantasy world that they're entering into instead of their everyday life and what they're trying to escape from. And instead of like trying to address these issues in a healthy way, they sweep it under the carpet, and we look underneath the carpet through talking therapies. And what we need to look at is through group therapy within treatment in a safe setting is those commonalities where people get some identification of what's truly going on for them.
And do we know who it's most likely to affect?
Gaming addiction can affect anyone of any age, gender, race or sex. As addiction does not discriminate against anyone. There's this thought process that it is a younger generation. Generally, it would be, but when the gaming's been around now for long enough where you would find, you know, people in their 30s and 40s who are playing and spending extreme amounts of time. And most people who come in, they may be using drink or drugs around this as well to so that they can stay up for longer. But ultimately, this addiction can affect anyone.
Thanks to Eitan Alexander from UCAT.
And if it's something you've experienced, let us know. gaming@nakedscientist.com. Now, we'll continue looking at gaming addiction. Let's hear from Dr. Pete Etchells, who's written a book called Lost in a Good Game, Why We Play Video Games and What They Can Do For Us.
Part of the book is about my dad, and my dad died when I was 14 of motor neurone disease. And I talk in the book about how games played a big role. At the time, I didn't realise it so much, but looking back and thinking about it in the context of the book, I realised that games played a big role both in terms of how I processed his diagnosis and how I tried to deal with the aftermath of his death. I don't really want to say everybody should play video games to get over grief and things like that, because I don't think it will work for everybody in the same way. It did work for me, and I'm very thankful for that, though.
When you hear about gaming and people playing games, it usually tends to be that the word addiction is not too far down the line, you know. And we've, in fact, on this podcast, in previous episodes, a couple of months ago, we spoke about gaming addiction and the World Health Organization classifying it as kind of like a mental health condition. But also, there's treatment centres for gaming addiction. And I guess it's interesting because you sort of came at it that you wanted to basically say, well, hang on a second, some of the scientific research here is not pointing towards that conclusion.
So there's a group of scientists who argue that it's perhaps a little bit too premature to formally diagnose something such as gaming disorder, because really the scientific research isn't quite there yet. And I think our argument comes from the fact that we don't really have a good handle yet on what gaming addiction or gaming disorder, or however you want to label it, what it actually looks like and who it affects. And I think that's the key problem. So I'd say that, you know, everybody on both sides of the debate is trying to do the right thing. And I don't think anybody is suggesting that there aren't some people out there for whom gaming can become a really problematic thing.
Thanks to Dr. Pete Etchells from Bath Spa University, and his book Lost in a Good Game is out now. You're listening to the Naked Gaming Podcast with Lee Milner and Chris Barrow.
Let's look at new releases, starting with Harry Potter Wizards Unite.
I mean, I like to call this Harry Potter Go, and I think I have done for about 4 months, to be honest.
Yeah, you have.
It's the same game, essentially, as Pokemon Go, and it's made by the same company, Niantic.
Was that...
No way.
Well, I've been getting to grips with this game quite a lot. It's a long pause, isn't it? So, okay, let me just put my cards on the table. I love Harry Potter. I really like Harry Potter. We went to see The Cursed Child in the theatre.
Yes.
For my birthday.
Uh-huh.
And I really, you know, I like Harry Potter. First things first, you've got to name your character.
Okay.
In this open world, real life roaming game. So you walk around, like Google Maps, essentially. Mm-hmm. You can see your little character there. You find little icons, you click on them, and then it all turns into virtual reality.
Okay.
Or altered reality, AR as they call it. And you see, like, Hagrid about to... you know, accidentally get hit by the tube, which is
what?
I know, because you hold your phone
that's brutal.
Up to real life. I don't think that's supposed to be part of the game, but you hold your phone up, and like now, if I was playing, I'd hold my phone up, and then I might see, I don't know, like a wizard standing on the desk, for example. So it's quite clever.
Cool.
It's quite clever.
Yeah.
So I had to name my character. I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but I never realised that it was Hermione. When
right.
I was a child, I read the name, and I thought it was Hermione.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's bad, isn't it?
And you're a radio presenter.
I know, and I've just
admitted
it.
Boys and girls, this is a... Don't worry about it. If you've got no qualifications, just be a radio presenter.
If you think it's Hermione, you'll still make it.
What do you think my name was then when you first met me?
Lech.
Lech.
So I decided to name my character Hermione, with a H-E-R-M-Y-O-W-N, because I thought that was funny. It was already taken.
Because somebody else thought it was funny.
Yeah. So then I named myself Hermeowl. Because I thought that was funny too, and that wasn't taken, so there we go.
Right.
Anyway, so I played for about 30 minutes, which drained 30% of my battery.
Oh, wow.
So it's really like, per minute, 1% of battery. It's like Pokemon in one sense, but you don't have to catch them all.
So what's the point of the game?
Well, exactly. So you're supposed to get stickers of people that you come across instead of Pokemon. And I really didn't like that at all. Like,
you're not really convincing me here, to be honest.
No, well,
it doesn't seem like there's a point. It seems quite good and fancy, and it must be great to see kind of the characters in like looking in front of you
exactly.
on your phone. But if there's no point to the game, what's the point?
Exactly. Well, so the altered reality is better if you turn it off completely, because it didn't work for me at all on any occasion.
But then what's the point of the game?
Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe, though, is... voice acting in it. So I'd say the voice acting is very good. All the actors and actresses are there.
Mm.
The music's excellent as well. You know, they've paid the money there. But the fundamental problem is that you're not catching Pokemon. You're not catching and battling.
It's not Pokemon Go, guys.
Pokemon Go. I don't really know why they made this game.
You can't catch them all.
But Pokemon was good because, and you remember when we played this for a little bit,
yeah.
you'd catch them and then you'd go to like a gym, a real life like location.
Yeah.
You'd leave your Pokemon there and it would fight for your faction.
Love it.
Like red, blue and yellow. In this, you don't... There's nothing.
What you should have to do is kind of walk around, meet wizards, and then when you come up to the wizard, you could have like a spell fight with them.
Yeah, but that is what I wanted and that's not what I got.
All right.
So Niantic, if you're listening, Lee is available to hire.
What would you give it out of 10?
3 out of 10. Only if you absolutely love Harry Potter. You can get it from the App Store on iPhone now. That's what I played it on. Oh, there's a really funny story we've got to mention as well. Because it uses real-life locations, this is a kid's game, right? But the designers obviously didn't check every location. One of them in London, that's like a greenhouse that you can get some herbs from, turns out to be a strip club.
No!
It's a strip club in London.
Oh, my goodness. It's like it's all these little children going to this...
To this location to get some Harry Potter magic beans or whatever.
Well, let's hope they didn't ask for them there.
Anyway, they've removed the location from the game now. Well done.
Good.
Stop kidding around.
Snake?
Snake!
Okay, so next, a game which the world doesn't really need, imaginatively called Love Island, the game, released by Fusebox.
Play as one of the girls in the brand new Love Island mobile game. Experience the thrill of the chase, the temptation of love, and all the sizzling drama in between. Download now to couple up, graft, cheat, or crack on. It's time to play the game and do whatever it takes to bag your dream man. You'd be a mug to miss it. Love Island, the game. Download and play.
I can't believe I'm even going to admit this, but I actually quite enjoyed Love Island.
You love it. No, not just the game, the whole series.
Look, okay.
It's got to the point where now we base our lives around Love Island. It's like, when do we have dinner? When have we got to sort Bailey the Rabbit out?
When are we recording this? Before Love Island?
When are we recording this? Have we got time for Love Island? Right, I've even got... The Love Island bottle.
You're the worst. You're the worst person for buying the water bottle. It's actually 8 minutes to nine right now. Love Island's
on. We need to get going. Come on, quick, wrap this up. Right. So what do you think about the game?
Love Island, the game, surprisingly good. Now, the first thing I'll say is you cannot play as a male character.
Bit sexist.
Which is a bit odd. So I started off, and I, as you've heard from my last review, I like to create a funny character name. Because we've recently finished watching Game of Thrones... And because there's a lot of, like, beach and sand, I've called it Miss Andy. Miss Andy? Miss Andy?
Well done. Okay, I called mine Poppy. Not imaginative as yours.
Okay. Day one in the Love Island house, I was introducing myself to my fellow housemates, and Lottie, right? Uh-huh. Lottie goes, oh, what do you do as a job? And I said, well, I'm a classical cellist.
How many classical cellists do you get on Love Island?
Which I can't believe wasn't even an option. So I think there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in the writing of this game. A mobile game, you know, you can choose the options, basically. Then Lottie goes, oh, it's like you looked at a violin and we're like, oh, can I get that in supersize? That is one of the best lines.
I love it.
That's so good, isn't it?
This is great. This is great.
And I mean, I only got through day one, to be honest with you, but it was free to play to start with, and it was quite good. What did you think?
I liked it. It's a bit like Sims, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's exactly like Sims. But I, you know what? It's like Sims mixed with Pokemon on the Game Boy.
because it's like, you know, the battles in Pokemon when you come face to face.
And it comes up with little titles and it kind of talks you through the game.
Select your options.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're a big fan of things like that, then you'll love this. But it does get quite expensive, doesn't it?
Well, it's really weird because you get given a certain amount of tokens, and every day in the Love Island villa that you complete, you get like a gem. But if you want sort of conversation options, you have to spend your tokens and gems and, you know, tickets on that. And it's really a lot. Like, it's £5 to get, I think, 20 gems or something. And you can burn through them really quick. You know, buy an outfit for your character, which I did, and it looked like she'd been savaged by a shark on my outfit. Because it was all...
Have you watched Love Island?
Well, yeah, unfortunately. No, but all her clothes were torn. It's quite expensive quite quickly, so that might put me off in the long run. But it was quite entertaining.
It was, yeah. I quite liked it.
What would you say?
I'd give it a solid 7 out of 10.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a funny game. You can see the writers are a bit tongue-in-cheek.
If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. You don't have the voiceover guy. That's the one thing it's missing, I think. Ah. Ian Sterling. You need voiceover.
There you go. You could ask to do that.
What, on the app?
Yeah.
Bit sidelining cash.
Poor man's Ian Sterling coming up here.
I'll take that, to be honest. I think 6 out of 10. Pretty good. Available now on the App Store. Time now for Retro Revival this month, the most highly anticipated game of this podcast ever, Crash Team Racing Nitro-Fueled Nitrous Oxide Edition, remade by Beenox.
Oh, I love this so much. This was my childhood. Literally, I played this probably every day for as long as I can remember, and it's. I think this one's even better.
You pesky earth slugs like to race, eh? Well, I'm Nitrous Oxide. Racer in the galaxy. You're no match for me.
So was it as good as you remember? Because you played a lot of Crash Team Racing.
Yeah. It brought back all those memories. And I think it definitely is better than the original. Just because you can see what's going on a bit more, it's got more levels, more choice of characters, the graphics are so much better. It's just enhanced the superb game that it already was.
And what I really like about it, because I actually didn't play the original, but you can choose go-karts and, you know, character models that were the original ones that look quite blocky. So you can get that kind of original feeling, but it's such a smooth-running game.
Although, to be honest, I thought I was much better than I actually am because you beat me every single time. And I think I got in a bit of a strop the other day and chucked the controller and said I'm never playing again.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So, but you've learnt all these little cheats and stuff.
Well,
and, you know.
The one thing is the drifting is key because you boost three times to get a little bit of extra speed. And you're still coming to terms with the triple boost.
You've obviously been practicing while I've been away.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You're pretty angry about that.
Yeah, I am pretty angry about that because I thought I was amazing at it.
So should you buy the Nitrous Oxide Edition? What you get is the Star Skins, you get Coco, Crash, Cortex, you get lots of kind of alternate ones. You get new levels as well that are being introduced, new kind of racetracks.
And they're good, aren't they?
Well, they did this big update, which had loads of chickens that was annoying us. Do you remember? There was that kind of, here's the Grand Prix mode, which is an online mode.
What was that about?
It was weird, wasn't it? But they're releasing content each month, which is amazing, really.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Crash. So, what are you saying then?
I think this, get ready.
Okay.
The first 10 out of 10 game of the entire series, is it?
Well, it's your first 10 out of 10 ever, because you always give them about 2 or 3.
I'm pretty harsh, but I think because of the graphics, because of the excellent game that it's always been, the choice of characters, the choice of tracks, it has definitely got a 10 out of 10 for me.
So, Crash Team Racing Nitro-Fueled Nitrous Oxide Edition is out now, PS4, Xbox One and Nintendo Switch.
Power up!
And that's it for this month. Next time, I'm hoping to get hold of one of the new edition Tamagotchis coming very soon.
Can't wait.
I think it's got one extra button and also it's in colour and they can get married. So I think our goal should be for our characters to get married.
It's just got to be better, though, than the last one.
You killed it in one day.
I didn't kill it.
It died.
It died on its own.
Because you didn't feed it.
I didn't feed it, yeah.
If you want to hear how that happened, let's remind ourselves of how it went down.
No. Pancake Face is dead. I don't think he lasted 24 hours.
Yeah, I hope you can keep it alive for more than a day this time round. Hopefully they'll be released in time. Anyway, we'll see you next time.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, remember, email gaming@nakedscientist.com.